ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 31। अहो बतात्यद्भुतमेष रक्षसा बालो निवृत्तिं गमितोऽभ्यगात् पुनः हिंस्रः स्वपापेन विहिंसितः खलः। साधु समत्वेन भयाद् विमुच्यते। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवान स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। इट इज मोस्ट एस्टोनिशिंग दैट ऑल्दो दिस इनोसेंट चाइल्ड वॉज टेकन अवे बाय द राक्षस टू बी ईटन, ही हैज रिटर्न विदाउट हैविंग बीन किल्ड or even injured. Because this demon was envious, cruel and sinful, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. This is the law of nature. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. Purport. Krishna consciousness life means innocent devotional service. And a sadhu is one who is fully devoted to Krishna, as confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 9.30. Bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhur eva sa mantavya. Anyone fully attached to Krishna is a sadhu. Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and other cowherd men could not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing as a human child, and that his life was not in danger under any circumstances. Rather, because of their intense parental love for Krishna, they thought that Krishna was an innocent child and had been saved by the Supreme Lord. In the material world, because of intense lust and desire for enjoyment, one becomes implicated in sinful life more and more. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajo guna samudbhava. Therefore, the quality of fear is one of the aspects of material life. Ahar nidra bhaya maithunam cha. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, the process of devotional service, shavanam kirtanam, diminishes one's polluted life of material existence, and one is purified and protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shunvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. In devotional life, one has faith in the process. Such faith is one of the six kinds of surrender. Rakshishyati Iti Vishwasah. Hari Bhakti Vilas 11.676. One of the process of surrender is that one should simply depend on Krishna, convinced that he will give one all protection. That Krishna will protect his devotee is a fact. And Nanda Maharaj and other inhabitants of Vrindavan accepted this very simply. Although they did not know that the Supreme Lord himself was present before them, there have been many incidences in which a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj has been put in difficulty even by his father, but has been saved under all circumstances. Therefore, our only business is to become Krishna conscious and depend fully on Krishna for our protection. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing with this, the killing of demon Trunavarta. Actually, I was informed that the verse will be 37. But then yesterday I saw Krishna Prabhu taking 30. So there was some confusion. But anyway, In this verse, we are seeing that Prabhupada is making few points. In the beginning, he is giving the definitions or from Bhagavad Gita, who can be called a sadhu. So Prabhupada is quoting this verse 9.30 and he is saying, Api cheta sudacharo bhajante mam ananya bhag. Sadhu reva samantavya samyak vyavasthito hi sah. So the qualifications of one being a sadhu, as per this verse and as per Bhagavad Gita, is bhajante mam ananya bhag. So the world may say anything. Sometimes world may say that how can sadhus, whatever you can say, have some wonderful prasad on Radhashtami or other sponsorships, or how can it's not only Brahmacharya, it is about Grihasthas also. They may say, how can sadhus be CEO of some company? Some sadhu can be a CEO. Here it is, the qualification of sadhu being told is bhajante mam ananya bhag. It's not a question of whether the sadhu is CEO or not a CEO. What he is doing while sitting in that chair of CEO is important. If he is chanting holy names while managing his business, then it's okay. But if he is completely engrossed in sense gratification, then it's a different thing. So if you see, even somebody can sit in some minister's position or some big management position in material engagements of some factory or some management, or somebody can be a renounced person in an ashram somewhere. And sometimes for serving Krishna, like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, for serving Krishna, he would travel in an automobile. And nowadays it's a different thing, because nowadays the roads are full with automobile. But when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would travel, the whole of Calcutta had only two automobiles. One was the governor of Bengal and another was Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. So it was something revolutionary. Nowadays they travel, they don't mind. They say, anyway, that's happening there. In fact, roads are, so many automobiles are there, taxis are there. But like it's just like initially, few days back, not a very, I would not generally listen with that headphone while traveling. But once I listened and no one noticed at all. They said it's absolutely a normal thing. When I looked around, 50% of people in the trains and bus are always put their headphones in the mobile and listening to something. So they say, oh yeah, a person in saffron can also do that. It's a very normal thing nowadays. So there are different definitions as per different times and circumstances. But the difference what it makes is what you are listening on the mobile. Are you listening some disco music or picture song? Or are you listening some kirtan or missed lecture or something like that? So Krishna is saying, bhajante mam ananya bhag. So one who is, ananya means without any other motive, and one who worships, renders devotional service. Krishna is ordering two things, sadhu eva and mantavya. Srila Vishwanatha Thakur explains or expands on these two words. He says, one who is engaged in ananya bhag, unadulterated devotional service of Krishna. I am not discussing this part of Sudhucharachara today. I am just taking, even if that is there still, even if he sometimes Durachari is observed, but I am not taking that part. Vishwanatha Thakur is telling, one who is doing ananya bhag bhakti, bhajati, he is to be considered only a sadhu. Sadhur eva means only. Somebody may say he is impure sadhu. Somebody says he is 50% sadhu. But Krishna is saying sadhur eva. Why he is explaining the future verses, and this verse also future, that samyak vyavasthito, he is rightly situated. But the Krishna is not mixing the sadhu. 50%, 80%. He is saying sadhu eva. And he is again stressing the point by saying mantavya. Mantavya means you may consider. No, not you may. You have to. It's like order. Kartavya. Datavyam ityad danam. Datavya means which has to be given. So mantavya means you have to be considered. A person who is engaged in ananya bhag bhajati, he has to be considered sadhu. Okay, and not only sadhu, only sadhu, not 50% sadhu and some Krishna is giving. He has to be considered only sadhu, one who is engaged in Krishna's service. Similarly, sometimes we see many people are given these adjectives of Mahatma all over the world. But here Krishna in the 10th chapter or I think 9th chapter, he again gives a definition of Mahatma. He again, same points come. इफ यू सी द सेम वर्ड्स आर देयर, महात्मानस तू माम पार्थ दैवीं प्रकृतिम आश्रित, सेम वर्ड, भजंती भजंती अनन्य मनसो, सी अनन्य एंड भजंती, बोथ वर्ड्स आर रिपीटेड इन द डेफिनेशन ऑफ साधु एंड महात्मा बिकॉज दे आर डेफिनेशन ऑफ अ सिमिलर पर्सन, बट वन हू कैन बी कॉल्ड इज महात्मा, हु कैन बी कॉल्ड महात्मा अकॉर्डिंग टू कृष्णास डेफिनेशन, ही इज अगेन अनन्य, हिज माइंड इज एंगेज इन अनन्य भक्ति ऑफ कृष्ण, एंड इट्स नॉट ओनली सेंटिमेंट, सी एज प्रभुपाद सेज फिलोसॉफी एंड इमोशन और सेंटिमेंट हैज टू गो टुगेदर, सो सेंटिमेंट इज कृष्ण इज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, बट हाउ ज्ञात्वा भूतादिम अव्ययम, अ महात्मा डजंट जस्ट वर्शिप द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, मेनी पीपल वर्शिप सुप्रीम लॉर्ड दैट वे, फॉर सम वेल्थ, फॉर सम सन वाइफ जॉब रिजल्ट्स, मेनी पीपल वर्शिप द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इन मेनी अदर अंडरस्टैंडिंग्स, बट हियर कृष्ण इज सेइंग वन हू वर्शिप्स अनन्य विथ माइंड भजंती बट ज्ञात्वा भूतादिम अव्ययम, आफ्टर अंडरस्टैंडिंग दैट कृष्णा इज द भूत आदि, द ओरिजिनल सोर्स ऑफ ऑल द लिविंग एंटिटीज, एंड अव्यय मीन्स हिज ही कैनॉट बी फिनिश्ड और डिक्रीज्ड, ही इज विदाउट एनी लेसनिंग और इफेक्ट ऑफ डैमेज, सो आफ्टर अंडरस्टैंडिंग कृष्णा इन दिस वे वन हू वर्शिप्स कृष्णा विथ विदाउट एनी अदर मोटिव विथ फुल डिवोशन he has to be called a mahatma. So actually if we see here apparently it may appear that, and it is mentioned here that bhakti means like innocent child, and Prabhupada gives that here Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and others, they were not aware that Krishna is the supreme personality of God. In that way it can be called that they are away from the truth. People can accuse that Nanda Maharaj also doesn't know that Krishna is supreme God. When I was discussing Narad Muni's entry into Dwarka and how he was behaving like madman in Srimad Bhagavata Bhagavatamrut, there one nice statement is made by Sanatana Goswami. He says, this madness in complete love and attachment to Krishna is in fact the most highest level of touch with reality. It may appear that the soul is mad after Krishna, and in that madness he may not be able to appreciate the reality. Like Narad Muni, when he was entering the Dwarka, his Veena was falling, sometimes he was falling. And it may appear that he is like a mad person. He is not in his own elements. But Sanatana Goswami explains, this madness to the Supreme Lord is actually a state of highest touch with the highest reality. But if we see in this material world, somebody may say this illusion of forgetting Krishna as the Supreme Lord is a state of highest knowledge, it's not an illusion. Actually, in this world, people, as Prabhupada says once, that person, he was accused of doing some crime, and then he excused in the court saying that I am mad, insane, so I should be excused. And the judge said that in this world, actually, everyone is insane. Just said that, but if we see, analyze according to Bhagavad Gita, Tribhir Gunamayir Bhaver. In this world, everyone is insane, either under the influence of mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. About ignorance, I was just walking a few days back somewhere in Bombay, and I saw a college girl. Fortunately, she was at least dressed properly, in modern clothes, but dressed properly. And she was having a cigarette in her hand. And she was just standing on the road with full style and fashion, and as if she is doing some, like full, we call it confidence. And smoking and just calling someone like this. So I was just thinking, like, what has made this change? Around 25-30 years back, somebody who had to smoke or drink, at least they are aware, they had a knowledge that they are doing something wrong. And they would sometimes go in some corner. They had some shame that they are doing something wrong. So they would at least hide somewhere in the corner or go into some outside the village. If they are smoking and some person sees, they would hide the cigarette, something like that. So at least people would behave that way because they knew that this is wrong. At least they are aware, and they said that this is wrong but I cannot control, so I am doing it, but they are aware. And now I understood when Prabhupada went to America, why he called the people influenced by mode of tamogun. Because in this, we are taking this example of a girl on the street which I happened to look, but here we see that this is, as per the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, this is complete ignorance. Because they are doing the most wrong thing and fully confident that we are doing the most right thing. They are thinking, see, somebody can be proud and show off like this when they think, they are convinced that this is good. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, when explaining the mode of ignorance, adharmam dharmam iti ya manyate tamasavruta. One who thinks something wrong to be right is considered the mode of ignorance. And somebody who knows it is wrong but is doing it, that's a different thing. So I was thinking, actually, when Prabhupada went to America, people were doing all these wrong things, but they are doing it so confidently as if they are right. They are convinced that this is right. So even though such students or such people may be PhDs or MSCs or MComs, but they are under the mode of ignorance because unfortunately they are thinking the wrong things to be right. And this is also one type of madness. This is a madness under the mode of ignorance. As per Bhagavad Gita, if someone thinks wrong to be right, it's a madness. And that is under mode of ignorance. Actually, we see also there is madness under passion. And madness also, some type of madness less under mode of goodness. And there is also madness under Shuddha Sattva. Like we see pure devotees, they are completely mad. See, people, they give life for their country or some social purpose. It's also some people who can't appreciate that will call madness. Why he is giving life for some country? Some people will call it madness. Why he has to do it? But still, that is madness under, say, passion. And there is some people who give life for some social cause, relieving some poverty. And some people, they are sacrificing that. There are some personal motives. But then there is a highest called type of madness. Like we saw, sometimes people drive very rashly, especially two-wheelers in college campuses, making big sound. Actually, one college professor, he was supposed to counsel students in their own way. So he was telling me, when I see some student driving very rashly with a high-speed motorcycle, I just stop him and I just say that we want that you should be with us for many, many years. I say, I don't chastise him. I say, we want that you should be with us for many, many years. And he says, that is, I found, rather than chastising, that is a better way of, then they come to their ground. So actually, that is madness. Anyone can foresee a future if we continue driving that way, what is going to happen. But still, that madness is there of passion, of showing off, of attracting some opposite sex and people like that. Actually, there was a person, a basketball player in US, many years back, maybe 10 or 20 years back, I think when I was in college or something. And his name was Magic Johnson. And he was very proud. He was giving statements that I had relationship at least with 1,000 women. And then later on, he was addicted with some AIDS and many other diseases. And then he started opening up charitable trust for AIDS and like that. So basically, we see tamogun, rajogun, and even sattvagun. When we are aware from the reality of the Supreme Lord, that is called madness. And it can take various forms. But here also there is some madness, which is under the course of devotional service. Actually, sometimes people, they give up their lives to protect sometimes Krishna's purposes. And we see there have been people and devotees all over the world. Actually, today I am going to speak. Also in the future, Krishna says, Prabhupada says, that those who are completely innocently surrendered to Krishna, Krishna's protection is always there. So I am going to discuss one story of one alwar. You know, in the history of Sri Vaishnavism, around 1100 years before Kali Yuga began, that is, the first alwar appeared around 1100, 1200 years before Dwapar Yuga ended. And the last alwar appeared around 400 after Kali Yuga began. So these were the saintly people who Krishna had sent at the transformation of change of age. From Dwapar Yuga, when Kali Yuga was happening, four or five alwars had appeared before Kali Yuga, and they lived for 1,000 years and like that. They appeared 1100 years before and they lived up till Kali Yuga beginning. Then the first alwar appeared in one Kali Yuga abda, and the last alwar, I think he was Thirumangai Alwar, who I am going to discuss today. He appeared around 390 or 400 something Kali Yuga year. All were around 5,000 years back. And why it is said? It is said they had to appear because it is said Krishna swadham upagate dharma jnanadibhi sah. When Lord Krishna went back, he had left Srimad Bhagavatam, certainly. But even that, he had left Bhagavad Gita. But that was not enough. To teach the people of Kali Yuga, person Bhagavats were required. And so the Lord, these 12 Alvars, Dwadash Alvars, we know they are incarnations of different Ayudhas of the Supreme Lord. Ayudhams, Pancha Ayudhams are there. And then Srivatsa is there, Vaijanti Mala is there. Different Krishnas, paraphernalia, they have incarnated as these 12 Alvars. So in this South India, if we see, they were, South India, they are divided into three kingdoms. One was Cholas, then Cheras and Pandyans. And they are all were actually many times devotees, but they are into three different kingdoms. And the state of Tamil Nadu, actually Nadu means, in Tamil language, it means Pradesh or area. Like we call Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh. And within the Tamil Nadu, there are many, many small areas called as again, this Nadu, that way. So in this kingdom of this Chola kingdom, once this Chola kingdom's kings, what do you call it? In Tamil, it is called Senai Thalivar. That means army chief. He was the army chief of this Chola kingdom. And then he had a son. But this son was very dark colored. He was very powerful. At the same time, scholar. He had learned Sanskrit and many other languages. He was so powerful. And he was so defiant of law. He was breaking the laws left and right, even though he was the son of the king of the senapati of the king. That the king thought he has to be some properly engaged. I can't control him. The king was afraid. He is so powerful, I can't control him. He said, the good job for him will be to tax collector. Because many people avoid paying tax. So let him be properly engaged, like right engagement of propensity. The king had to search out. So he said, better make him tax collector. And he was given the job of collecting tax of this some area. And then nobody dared to not to pay him the tax. And he was completely, what do you call it, a misdirected person. He was a tax collector. He would collect and then give. That is called kappam. So the share of tax is called kappam. And that kappam has to be given to the king. And he would collect that. He would do that duty. But then what happened? Once he was moving around, and once he was moving here and there, he was equally a scholar also. He was not only rowdy, powerful, dark colored, at the same time very high scholar, kavi. Actually, king had appointed a very high scholar in his kingdom. And he was called Nara Kavi Pelumar. He's like a designation of a very respected scholar. And when he heard this, and this person's name was Nilar. This son's name was Nilar. He later on became a great devotee. Initially, because he was dark colored, he was called Nilar. So he was Nilar. And he heard this Nilar, rowdy person. He's also a scholar. So he challenged this Nara Kavi Perumal, the king's main scholar. He challenged him for a debate. But it so happened that this Nilar defeated the topmost scholar in the kingdom. So he was also a scholar and also a most misdirected person. But the king had to appoint him not only as a tax collector, and also as he became the Nara Kavi Perumal. That is the highest scholar in the town. But then he had earned many names because of his power. Because he was a child of a senapati, he was trained in sword and mace, and he could lead four types of armies of elephants, horses, chariots, and then this various weapons and walking armies. He was a very powerful person. He was such a dreaded person, some people called him Kalan. Kal means time. Some people call, he is a Kalan. He is a dreaded time, because if anyone goes, he is killed. And some people call him Parak Kalan. Means he is beyond time. No one can, he is Kalan for others, but he himself is Parak Kalan. He is beyond time. No one can kill him. So this was the designations and upadis which he has earned. Nilar, Kalan, Parak Kalan. Some people call him time, some people call, he is beyond time. And then he would go and collect taxes and do all types of nonsense things. So one day, before we go ahead with this story of Nilar, how Krishna arranges for his devotees, once we see he was... So once we see, we are going to another, this story is part one, we'll stop this and we'll begin another story. And then both stories will combine. So once what happened, various girls or ladies from the Devalokas, they are called Devakannis. This is Tamil language, I'm introducing you something Tamil today because this is Alvar's story. So Devakannis, they were moving around. And one of the Devakanni, her name was Sumangali. She thought, I want to go on the Bhulokam, earth. And because she was a leader, along with other Deva Mangais. Mangais means also women. They are called women, are called Deva Mangais. So along with other Deva Mangais, the lady of the heavenly world, she came down. And this Devakanni, Sumangali, she was moving around in the Himalayan region. And in the Himalayan region, Kapila Muniyar, Kapila Munivar, he was sitting with many other Munivaras. And they were discussing. And one of the Munivara was little deformed. And these Devakanniyars, they saw this Muni and they laughed and joked at him. Seeing this behavior of these Devakannis, Kapila Munivar cursed them. Especially this Sumangali. That you will be born as a human being on earth. And you will become wife of ordinary human being. And then she understood her mistake. And she went and begged pardon. But Kapila Munivar said, don't worry. You have been cursed because of your own fate. It's ordained that it will happen that way. And you will take birth on earth in South India, in a home of a Vaidyan, Vaithyam, and you will be married to a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. And in fact, you will be the cause for that great devotee to become devotee. He will be initially in his activities not a devotee. So don't worry, this is Krishna's ordained will. So you don't worry, that is your fate, your plan. So immediately this Devakanni Sumangali along with other Devakanniyas, she came moving around to this South Indian place, the name of the village is there. But then she was moving around in that temple area of a lake. Sumangali was moving around. And when she saw the lake, all the Devakanniyas took their bath. But after the bath, all the other Devamangais, they left and went back to the heavenly kingdom. And she was left alone in a bewildered state. What has happened? And at that time, she was like a small girl. So Vaidyam of that area, he was moving around, a doctor. And he had no issue, no child. So he was moving around the pond. He saw a small girl moving around, looking confused. But she was extremely beautiful because she was from the heavenly planets. So this Vaidyam very happily, joyfully got this girl to his home. And wife was also very happy. And both decided to raise her as their own child. And suddenly she grew up. And when she was of marriageable age, this Vaidyam, the father asked, now it's your time to get married. So she said, it's already fixed. I am going to get married only with Thirumangai Alvar. He will come in due course of time. The Supreme Lord Sriman Narayanam will arrange. And this father could also understand this is some divine arrangement. So once this Nilar or Kalan was moving around the town, and this Devakanni Sumangali, she was moving on the terrace of her father's house. And while this Kalan was moving around, he happened to look at her and immediately went. And he was immediately attracted to her beauty. So much that he wanted to marry her. And then he went and knocked on the door. It's not a welcome knock if Kalan, a person like Kalan knocks on your door. And he knocked and he told the Vaidyan, the doctor, that I want to marry your daughter. But he explained that his daughter is beyond my control. She is from another realm. So if she agrees, I have no issue, no problem. So he called her daughter, his daughter down, Sumangali, and asked, see, this person wants to marry you. So she... As a would-be wife, she asked, what are your qualifications? So this Nilar, he said, you see, this is my fist. With one punch, I can break the heads of 500 people. So he started describing his qualifications of this type. And this girl was smiling and giggling. And after his list of qualifications was over, she said, I don't want such qualifications. If you want to marry me, you have to become Vaishnava. He said, okay, okay, ama. I'll become Vaishnava. Ama means yes, yes in Tamil. They say seri also like that. Ama. He said, immediately, yes, I will become. He had just heard a word Vaishnava sometime somewhere. So he knew that Vaishnava means something they have to do with the temple over there. So he promised to the, he did not know what does it mean. So he said, yes, I will become Vaishnava right away. And he ran to the temple from that home. First time he took the entry in the temple. And he found the priest. He said, I want to become a Vaishnava. So priest was a little amused. This Nilar, this Kalan. He said, are you sure you want to become Vaishnava? He said, yes, I want surely to become Vaishnava. Then he had to surrender completely to the Supreme Lord. You know, Vaishnava means who has surrendered completely to the Supreme Lord. He said, yes, yes, I will do it. So he saw that this is a confident person, at least he's speaking. So he removed the garland of the Supreme Lord and put that garland around his Nilar. And he saw, no, I become Vaishnava. So he came running back to the house of this Vaidyan. And he said, see, I am a Vaishnava now. So this Sumangali said, not just official Vaishnava like this. You have to behave like Vaishnava, will you? He said, yes, yes, I will do whatever you want. So she said, for that, you have to daily feed 1,000 Vaishnavas. And you have to wash their feet and drink that charamrut. He said, immediately I will do it. So he went out and he also had a gang of many similarly dacoits. You have heard this story that he had that gang that one could hide in the shadow. So at that time, we are speaking 400 years of Kali Yuga, beginning. Mystic powers were there, quite common. So many people were with these mystic powers and all of them have joined with this person. He said, folks, gang members, come here. Some job for you. And all were, yes, tell what's to be done next. They are preparing for some next assault or some next loot. He said, we have to feed 1,000 Vaishnavas daily, wash their feet, and I want to drink the Chanamrut. So Ganga said, are you okay? The Nilar said, if you don't follow my orders, you won't be okay in short time. So better you follow my orders immediately. So they all went in their own style. Oh, Vaishnava, catch him. And the Vaishnavas caught with a collar. Come on, take him. And they would gather many Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavas were bewildered. What's happening? Why are we being collected like this? Is this some human sacrifice of Nilar or Kalan? We are going to have appointment with these Kalan's people. So they are being forced, sometimes we heard the animals. And they did not know. They said, we have to collect 1,000 Vaishnavas. That's all. So they were collecting the Vaishnavas. And you sit in line. Is this for some sacrifice, human? They did not know. And then they were got a big plate of fish. They thought, this is what they do before a sacrifice. So they were eating very under terror, but eat it! So they had to finish the whole fish. And then what you do next? Stick out your legs. They all wear legs in front and forcefully their legs were washed. It was a big barrel full. But this Kalan, he could drink the whole ballad. And this was going on for, he was told to do this for 1 year. So this was going on. Slowly, slowly, Vaishnavas also understood that this is a good feast. No need to be afraid. Even though we are caught with our collar, that's okay. That's not an issue to be discussed of. In due course of 15-20 days, the news spread that this is the way they welcome us. That's their way of welcome. But the end results is good. Falena Parichayat. Prabhupada said we should discuss with the end result. So then this feast becomes popular and 1,000 people feeding daily was not an easy thing. Finances are required. So from where to get the finances? Initially he had some, but then his own finances were exhausted. So he thought, I am collecting this kappam, that tax for the Supreme Lord. So not Supreme Lord, tax for the king. So why to give this tax to the king? It was a big amount. I'll utilize that for feeding the Vaishnavas. And in due course of time, as he was drinking the Chanamrut, serving the Vaishnavas, he was getting purified. So now he was attached to the service. Initially he was attached to that Sumangali, but now he was attached to the service and he wanted to continue also on his own. So he took that risk of not paying the king his taxes. Actually, he was such a powerful person. The king had made him a small king. It is called Thirumangai Manan. Thirumangai Manan. Manan means king. And Thirumangai was actually the name of the area. Mangai means woman. Thiru means Lakshmi. Like she is the leader of all the ladies. That is Thirumangai, Lakshmi ji. So he was made the king of the whole area, Thirumangai Manan. And he was the king. He was collecting taxes and supposed to send to the Chola king. And it was complained to the king, Chola king, that we are not receiving taxes from Thirumangai. Not Thirumangai that time. His name was Kalan. So this main king, he sent his army chief, Wazir, that you go and find out. So he came with some army. And Nilari was so powerful. He defeated the chief of army and whole army alone with his own gang members. So they went back and they said, this is not paying taxes, but not a good thing. So then the king came with his army, with full of his army. But still, he was so powerful, he defeated a king. But because he has changed a little bit, he did not kill him. He was standing on the battlefield with his leg on the chest of the king. And he excused him. But the brahmanas who had come with the king, they were saying, this is not proper. You have given a word that I will be giving this tax to the king and you are not paying. So, but he said, I have spent it on the serving or service of the Vaishnavas. So the brahmana said, you cannot do it. It's the king's right. You have to give it to him. So the brahmana said, because of change of heart, he defeated the king. But voluntarily, he got subjugated to the brahmana's instruction. Brahmana said, you have to face the reaction. He said, what is that? The king will put into the jail. So voluntarily, he went into the jail. And then he was praying, oh Supreme Lord, please, I want to continue this service of feeding the Vaishnavas, but I am in jail. Please help me. The Supreme Lord came into his dream and told that, you tell the king to free you and immediately walk north towards Kanchipuram. And in between, underground is a big treasure. You go there, you take out the treasure, it will be so much that you can easily repay all the debts of the king and you will have lots of left to feed your Vaishnavas. So he told the king that, please free me for a few days and I will get a treasure and I will repay you all your dues. So king allowed him with a guard, of course. And the Supreme Lord was guiding him personally. He took him, dug the ground, and a big treasure was found. And he gave it to the king. And the king said, anyway, whom I have to take dues from you? The Supreme Lord is guiding you directly. So he excused that dues also. And then again he came back to his own Thirumangai, Thiruvari place, and started serving the Vaishnavas. Now it was a little bit more respectful, not holding the scholars, but the feast was going on for 1,000 Vaishnavas daily. But still, after some time, again that wealth was exhausted. And still some time was remaining. Suddenly in that time, he got married also to that Sumangali and he was increasing his devotional service. But because we see sometimes our traits of our past life in Vaishnavas, they remain. So he was thinking, no, I have to pay taxes to the king. At the same time, I want to continue feeding 1,000 Vaishnavas for my whole life. How to arrange the finances? Then he said, there are many Vaishyas here. And they are traveling here and there with lots of wealth and this and that and merchandise, produce. And they are not donating anything. I think I have to take care of them. So he, along with his gang members, started looting the Vaishnavas. Not Vaishnavas, Vaishyas. Who were traveling in the day and night in caravans of bullock carts with their produce and with their rich clothes and jewelries. So Sriman Narayanam and Lakshmi Pirati, they were thinking that my son, this Nilar, is serving the Vaishnavas, but he's also going off track by looting the Vaishyas. Something has to be done to rescue him. So one day, the Supreme Lord is actually called Peruman, means the Supreme Lord. And he's also called M. Peruman, means my Lord. The Supreme Lord M. Peruman and Lakshmiji, Nam Pirati, they disguise themselves as a bride and bridegroom. In the story, it is called as Mapillai and Manmangal. Mapillai is bridegroom I think. And Manamangal is bride. So they described, they dressed like that. And the bridegroom's dress is called Kolam. So he, it's a very opulent dress of silk and jewelry and silver and gold. So Lakshmi Narayan and themselves, they dressed in this Kolam dress or marriage dress. In the night, they were traveling with 30 cart loads of jewelry, bullock cart loads. They are personally dressed with very opulent dress. And Thirumangai was on his job on the highway or on the forest path. And he saw a big caravan, 30 bullock carts caravan coming. And in behind, the owner of the caravan, who was actually Empuran, the Supreme Lord, Empurman, he was there. And he said, "No, it's a good time, folks, a day of our life. Our life, one day, for most fortunate." And they stopped. He stepped and he said, "Stop." He said, "You have to give me all your wealth." The Supreme Lord, Mapillai, he said, "I can't give." He said, "So do you want to fight?" He said, "No, I don't want to fight. You can take it, but I will not give." He said, why? "Because I have kept this wealth for the service of the Supreme Lord." Not Supreme Lord, "I have kept this wealth for the service of the Vaishnavas." And Nilar said, "Oh, I am a Vaishnava, so you should give all to me." But we cannot give, you can take. And suddenly he ordered all his fellow, "Collect all the wealth from all the bullock carts. Make a big, big bundles." And they certainly followed all the orders. And then he told Mapillai and Manamangal, "Remove your dress. Marriage dress, all the opulent dress, all the jewelry." So everything was removed. But Manamangal, the Lakshmiji, she had Kanniyazi, this is something like payal, a name of a jewelry in her leg, lotus feet, Kanniyazi. And it was very tight. It was not coming out. So everything was removed, looted. And that bundle was remaining. And this Nilar, he said, "Remove that jewelry also from your lotus feet." And Lakshmiji said, "I can't remove. If you want, you remove and take." And this Nilar came with all his strength trying to remove. But it was not coming off. He became so mad after that one piece of jewelry, although he had got lot. He started to bite that jewelry to change the shape so that it will become loose and come out. He was biting the jewelry to get it off the lotus feet of the Lakshmiji, but in that way actually he was sucking the lotus feet of the Lakshmiji. And he could understand great transcendental bliss and ecstasy was coming on him because of sucking the feet of Lakshmiji. But still he was so mad after the jewelry, he even did not notice the mercy that was flowing on him. Ultimately somehow that he removed that jewelry. After Lakshmiji gave a lot of her mercy, he removed that. And then the whole bundle was ready. And he told, "Oh friends, okay, come on. Take this bundle and we'll be on our way, leaving this Mapillai over here along with his bride." And the people tried to lift the bundle of jewels and nothing happened. I mean, they could not lift. All 20, 30, 100 of them could not lift. So he said, "Oh, you are not an ordinary bridegroom. I think you have chanted some mantras because of which we are not able to lift this load. You have to tell me the mantra so that I can lift it." So this, the Supreme Lord in the form of bridegroom, he said, "Come here. Come in my come close to my ears. Come, bring your ears close to me. I will tell you the right mantra." And then Supreme Lord himself gave this mantra, Nilar, Ashtakshara mantra. Om Namo Narayanaya. And when this mantra was heard by this Nilar, from the mouth of the Supreme Lord directly, then he could understand that he is none other than the Supreme Lord and she is none other than Lakshmiji. And although he had become a devotee by serving 1,000 Vaishnavas and drinking their Chanamrut for one long year and more than that actually. Daily he was feeding them and actually because of what has happened, why the expenses were growing so much, money was so short, because slowly, slowly the feasts were become opulent and opulent and opulent. So suddenly the finances were shorter and shorter. So he had to loot that way. And then he became so happy. Immediately, then and there, you know, these Adwars, they have written, I don't know how to pronounce, but they are called this Pasurams. They are poems, Tamil poems in praise of Supreme Lord, like we are Abhangas, something like that. So there are many, many thousands of Parshuramas which were sung by Alvas in front of the deities to praise them. So when he realized that the Supreme Lord himself has given me this mantra, Ashtakshara mantra, to lift this weight of jewels, he wrote one Parshuram. My Tamil maybe actually is not correct anyway, but that it is mentioned here. Vadi nena vadi varuthinen. It means, vadi nena means like a dried flower. He was saying that in my life, I was distressed, or I was troubled, or I was burning like a dried flower. Vadi varuthinen. Not only that, manathar perun thayur. My mind was also burning. This whole life was burning, full of pains and sorrows. My mind was sorrow burning. But now what has happened? Now, nadi nena nadi nana. Nadi nena means I have attained. What I have attained? Nadi nana means I have attained. Nadi nena nadi nana kandu konan. I come to know. What? Narayana enum namam. This name called Narayana. Since I have come to know this name of Narayan, all my distress has gone away and I attained the supreme bliss. So this was the first Parshuram this Thirumangai Alvar wrote then and there. And suddenly he came back and he became very famous. And since that time onwards, he was not called as Thirumangai Manan. He was the king of Thirumangai, but he became known as Thirumangai Alvar, one of the greatest devotees. He was the last Alvars of the whole series. And in this way we see, sometimes in devotee's life, sometimes the devotees may also behave in a wayward way, but the Supreme Lord's protection is always there. That is promised by the Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that even if the devotees go away, forget Krishna, Krishna don't forget the devotees. Hare Krishna. I think we should end here, it's beyond time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.